Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. I'm very pleased to welcome as our first guest a man who has been actively engaged in various aspects of that war for a long time. He is Stuart Baker. He served under President George W. Bush as an Assistant Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security for Policy. He is also a man who served as the General Counsel for the National Security Agency, the author of several books, including most recently Skating on Stilts, Why We're Not Stopping Tomorrow's Terrorism. Stuart Baker, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, I think for the first time. It's great to have you with us.
It's a pleasure.
You have a wonderful background to talk about any number of things. I think maybe I'd like to start off with something that I know is very much top of mind for you, and that is the threat we're facing from cyber warfare, whether it's terrorists or whether it's espionage operations of hostile governments or whether it's people simply trying to rip off either corporate or personal information, penetrate government computers. The White House itself, apparently, has been subjected to this. We are seeing, as you know, Stuart, some evidence of pretty close tie-ins with some of these outfits, including one called APT-28, with the Russians. The Chinese have their own. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the state of cyber warfare, cyber espionage, our vulnerability to it, and how well we're doing in countering it.
I think we're very vulnerable, and we haven't yet recognized the vulnerabilities or responded to them in a creative or a responsible way. And it's partly because it's really going to be inconvenient to respond to it, and we would prefer not to be inconvenienced. But the real risk here is that for the first time, people from foreign countries can get up close and personal to us in ways that our oceans ordinarily prevented. And now attacks can be launched against Americans from cyberspace in ways that we never thought could be done in the past. And both the stealing of secrets and ultimately attacks on our computer infrastructure are really going to change the dynamic of global power projection in ways that we will not find very comfortable.
You know what's particularly striking, and I certainly agree from my perspective with what you've said, and I think this is only the tip of the iceberg. A lot of this is either for classification purposes or because companies are not fully disclosing the degree to which their operations have been compromised, that we're hearing increasingly belligerent comments, notably from Vladimir Putin recently. I just saw a sort of a précis of a speech that he gave, I believe in Sochi on the Black Sea, in which he essentially said that Russia, quote, sees the outbreak of global war as almost inevitable, is prepared for it, and is continuing to prepare for it. Russia does not war, nor does she fear it, unquote. This would suggest that what is being done here is not just espionage or hacking, Stuart Baker, but possibly, as the military says, preparation of the battle space or creating conditions under which they would be able to operate very decisively in this battle space. Do you see that as a reasonable inference to be drawn from what
you know what? It's plausible. Putin is looking more and more like the reincarnation of Nazism, this fascination with having lost and the determination to get back everything they've lost. I think that's a big part of what's motivating Putin. You know, we shouldn't have lost. We were stabbed in the back. We can get it back. And so I think that's a big part of what's going on here. But it's also true, I suspect, that Putin looks at the world and he says, the U.S. is a little overstretched and actually punching above its weight in terms of what it can actually accomplish globally. And we and the Chinese are likely to do better if we started again from scratch. So maybe we should start from scratch.
And scratch a lot of what's there in terms of
exactly.
world order and institutions. Stuart, let me turn to a piece of this vulnerability that you sort of alluded to, but I'm particularly concerned about, and that is the vulnerability of our critical infrastructure, whether it's to cyber attacks or physical sabotage or various kinds of electromagnetic energy, localized or perhaps high-altitude EMP. And then ultimately, the perhaps just nature wreaking havoc with an intense solar storm. Do you believe that we've adequately prepared ourselves and taken the steps we need to make that electric grid the key critical infrastructure, because it powers everything else, of course, as resilient as we need to?
No, we really have not. We've let the politics of convenience drive us here. Industrial control systems of the sort that were demonstrably disrupted at Natanz, the Iranian centrifuge plant. Those same industrial control systems run everything that makes civilian life worth living. The power grid, the water supply, sewage systems, refineries, all of them run on industrial control systems, which have very little security. And so someone who's determined to cause mass civilian casualties probably could. There is no certain way of preventing a real disaster in an attack on industrial control systems.
And certainly, if we don't take steps to try to protect them, that seems to be very much in prospect here.
It's very unfortunate. I mean, a lot of this, you can protect against EMP, or whether human or natural, by storing spare parts, especially underground, and wrapping them in ways that make it hard for a pulse to cause problems. You would think that it would just be common sense to have a replacement for your existing infrastructure, or at least enough to limp along for a year, and we do not have that.
Well, this is a greatest concern to me because of the essential irreplaceability of so many of those high voltage transformers.
A lot of them are now manufactured only in China.
Well, or other parts of the world at the very least, indeed. Let me turn finally to one other piece of your very considerable expertise, Stuart Baker, notably from your time in the National Security Agency, where you served as a general counsel, as I mentioned, and also, of course, as an assistant secretary of Homeland Security for policy. And that is the degree to which we may be denying ourselves or allowing others to deny us access to information that could be critical to our security as a result of the compromises of Edward Snowden and the like, and of course, steps that have been taken since to encrypt data massively. Give us just a quick sense of what the stakes are as you see it here, and noting what the FBI director, Jim Comey, said the other day, that he's exceedingly concerned about it. Are you?
Yes, very much so. Americans don't realize how much of our ability to send SEALs into another country to carry out a rescue or to project power, how much of that depends on our ability to say we know enough about what people are talking about in that neighborhood to be sure that we are not going to be running into an ambush. Almost everything that makes the United States a global power derives ultimately from our understanding of the environment in which we're functioning, and that turns out to be signals intelligence. And the attack on NSA has dramatically reduced the kind of cooperation we're getting from industry, and ultimately the cooperation we're getting from other countries. And that's going to severely hamper our ability to function abroad in the ways that we've gotten used to.
Yeah, well, and of course, it's not just a function of projecting power and faring abroad and safeguarding our interests overseas. It's also ultimately, as you've sort of indicated, about our security here at home as well. This is a subject for a much longer conversation. I hope you'll indulge me in having it soon, Stuart Baker, because I think your insights into striking that right balance between privacy on the one hand, which we all, of course, cherish, and assuring our security, homeland and national, is a critically important issue, and certainly we're not thinking it through, I think, as carefully as we need to, especially in an era when so many others are waging cyber warfare against us. Keep up the great work, and Steptoe & Johnson at the moment, where you are a partner, and you can also hear Stuart's podcast at Steptoe Cyber Law Podcast. Also, with your blogging, check it out at Skating on Stilts blog, among other places. Keep coming back to us if you would. Next up, Peter Berkowitz joins us. We'll talk about the sorry state of the U.S.-Israeli relationship. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.